as human beings, we listen to a lot of voices. And that's true in our day-to-day experience, whether we're aware of it or not. And so a healthy way to reflect on yourself and a healthy way to do some introspection is to ask yourself this question: whose voice am I listening to? Am I listening to the voice of the evil one, the voice of Satan that accuses and lies to me about God and about everything? Am I listening to the voice of my flesh? Am I listening to the voice of the world? Or am I listening to the voice of my Savior, who speaks an entirely different word to me? The voice that you're listening to is going to affect your day-over-day experience greatly. It's going to affect how you experience life and the ways that you look at life and the story that's in your mind. And so we hope that this conversation today will reframe some of that, and we can recalibrate our ears to listen to the voice of Jesus. Stay tuned.
If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism, Reformed theology, really. How it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org. Welcome to Theocast, encouraging weary pilgrims to rest in Christ. Conversations about the Christian life from a Reformed perspective. If you're tuning in, this is the first episode you've ever heard, and you're wondering, what are these guys about? Really, we just want to pull the clutter off the gospel. There's so much confusion out there, and help you find legitimate rest in Christ. And then, what do you do with your life? What's the purpose? We're going to reclaim the purpose of the kingdom. The purpose of your life in God's kingdom. That's the point of our podcast today. Your hosts are Justin Perdue, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. And I'm John Moffitt. I'm the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And Justin, this is the second of our first episodes in the beginning of the year. So this is the first time we're together, just a few days after the turn of the year. And we're on episode.
First time we're together virtually.
Yeah, we were going to try and get together and spend some time recording and working on Theocast, and that's not going to work out, but hopefully, Lord willing, soon we will do that. So we had some plans to go to a new location this time. We're going to go to, where are we going to go? It's North Carolina, right?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Greenville, South Carolina. Sorry. Yeah. And real quick, I need to take a pause in my intro. My wife is amazing. For those of you that don't know this, she went by the coffee shop and gave me a coffee. They won't see you. I went over.
You can tell Judith I said hello.
And Justin says, hello, Judith. She can see you, but they can't see you. Bye.
Yeah.
That's right. We're a professional podcast. You can close that door behind you. We're a professional podcast around here, and we like to give free advertisement. For those of you who are in Spring Hill, this is White Shepherd Coffee. Amazing.
Well, maybe
you to get so.
White Shepherd could give us a little seed gift or something. We'll see.
Little seed gift. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I could probably get them to donate a bag of coffee to me. It doesn't help you out. So,
all right, John, I feel welcomed. I feel encouraged. Keep going.
We need to move on. All right. Anyways, a couple of announcements. This will probably be coming out in the first week of February. And we are probably on the heels, if not just announced, Justin's new book. I am beyond excited about this book. It is called More Than Forgiven.
That title is
great example of what's inside that book. There's so much more to your adoption than just you having your sins cleansed. There's so much joy and hope that comes in the gospel, and that's what that book is about. I encourage you, if it's not out yet, you can go to our website, sign up for our email, or go to our social media and follow us there. We're going to announce it, but it'll be available on our website and Amazon. Pretty excited about that. Lastly, Justin and I are going to be doing a conference with Chad Bird and Ken Jones on the law and the gospel. And you can sign up for that. There's still a few tickets left, I think. At this point, it's so hard for us to know. It's a month away. There might be a few tickets left. You go to theocast.org. That conference is going to be on April the 10th through the 12th in Asheville, North Carolina. All right, Justin, that is all the announcements.
Yeah, we're talking to Chad and Ken today.
Yeah, excited about that. Right after this conversation, as a matter of fact. So we better get this thing going.
So true, man.
Yeah.
I guess it's up to me to get us going.
Yeah, well, Justin, it's, you know, how these people are listening
to me.
Are listening to us because I think they are either curious or want to be influenced positively. But Justin, it's easy without us being aware of it to slip in to negative influences. Talk to us about that today.
John, you're crushing it with your segues this year, I'll tell you.
It's my New Year's resolution.
I mean, guys, if this is a foreshadowing of what awaits in 2025, look out. It's going to be the year of prosperity and jubilee around here at Theocast. Yeah,
there's the logo right there.
The way John's teeing us up.
I know. All right. I'm doing this great. Let's do this.
Title of the episode, Whose Voice Are You Listening To? This was, as we always say this, if you're new to us, this would be more for you. If you're an old listener, you appreciate us and you put up with us. So John and I are both pastors. And so we're preaching in our own local churches Sunday over Sunday. And often material for this podcast comes out of things that we're reflecting on, thinking on, applying, whatever, in the pulpit. And so I'm in John's gospel this past Sunday, preached John 7, 14 through 8, 11. And that includes a number of different things, but it's at the Feast of Booths is going on. And at the last day of the feast, Jesus stands up in the midst of the whole thing and cries out, "If anyone thirsts, come, let him come to me and drink." Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there, mm-hmm, biblically, redemptive, historically, that we don't need to talk about right now. But the point being, he is holding himself out as the fulfillment of everything that this feast is about. And about, he's the yes and amen to all the promises of God. And he invites sinners to come to him. This is posture. He always does this. He bids sinners to come. Come to me. If you're weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you're thirsty, come to me. Whoever comes to me, I'll never cast you out. That's Jesus. Then there is the well-known account of the woman caught in adultery.
Yeah.
And now is not the time to go into the fact that I think that account should be in the Bible. We can talk about that another time. This is not the podcast for that. But I preached it.
That would be a good debate because I don't think it should be. So we could have a whole debate on this.
Well, you know, Augustine, Calvin, and many others thought it should be. And so I'm good with that. And John, you and I could debate it. It's great. Anyhow, at the end of that account, there is the scene, we're familiar with it, right? Like this, in an attempt to trap Jesus, the Pharisees and the scribes, they bring in a woman. In the temple, there's a big crowd looking on. They bring a woman who's been caught in adultery. They put her before Jesus, and they're trying to get him to say something that would violate the law of Moses. Mm-hmm. Jesus, this woman, was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses told us to stone such women. What do you say? And of course, we know how Jesus bends down and he's drawn with his finger in the dirt. And, you know, I envision it to be, you know, silence. You know, like that is, you know, on the one hand, marvelous and Jesus is awesome. And then on the other hand, this is kind of harrowing. Like, what's he going to say? Mm-hmm. Stands up and he says, you know, let the one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Then they all leave from the oldest to the youngest. And then the woman is left there. Still, the crowd is looking on and it's her and Jesus in the midst. And how is he going to engage her? And he says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, Lord. And he says, well, neither do I condemn you. Mm-hmm. Go now and sin no more. So not only does Jesus bid sinners to come to him, this woman in the midst of a horrific situation, public shame, fear, all of it, his word to her is, you're not condemned. And now, in light of the fact that your condemnation has been removed, in light of the fact that you have God's favor and you're forgiven, go and sin no more. So are we listening to the voice of the evil one? We'll talk about that. His voice, the things that he says to us. Are we listening to the voice of our flesh? We'll think about that. And the things that come from within.
Yeah.
Are we listening to the voice of the world? Or are we listening to the voice of our Savior? That's today's conversation. And there are all kinds of ways that this can be applied. And so we're going to maybe go here, there, and everywhere with it. And we hope some of this encourages you.
Yeah. This is a great conversation, Justin, because this is a great habit. You know, when you talk about self-reflection and introspection, this is one of these areas that I will applaud.
This is a wonderful way to be self-reflecting.
Yeah.
And to be introspective. Agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Beginning of the year.
This is healthy.
Yeah. Because what you're talking about is source of influence, really.
Of course.
That's what you're talking about. And it's good and healthy to say, where am I getting this yep. feeling?
Yep.
Where am I getting this idea?
Yep.
Where has this come from? What's the source of this? And, you know, so much in pietism, or, self-reflection is more of, you know, am I doing enough?
Of course.
Right. Is God happy with me?
Right.
And we want to say, where did that come from?
Yeah.
What we'll influenced you on that one?
Yeah. We're going to talk about it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. No, so when it comes to self-examination and self-reflection, we're going to go ahead and on the outside say, that's the whole point of this episode. We want you to re-examine what's influencing you. So it's a good intro, really, man. Lead us
really on. Really good, man. I mean, so let's start out with this. I want to start with the voice of the evil one. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the various voices. Really, it is the world, the flesh, and the devil, but we're going to reverse that order.
So we'll talk about confession.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to go Satan, flesh, world. Like, how is it that we listen to these voices, and what might that look like for us? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to pivot to, all right, what about the voice of Jesus, and what does he say to us? And much better way to live, not only in terms of the influence on us, but like you were talking about various ways that we're influenced and affected. And a lot of times too, it's my lived experience. It's kind of the thing that's underneath. It's like in the background of my life. What is that? Mm-hmm. What's in the background of my life? What is the story, so to speak, the narrative that's in my mind and heart? Where's that coming from? You know, that's a real good question to ask. And this is, like we said, healthy reflection and introspection. Mm-hmm. All right, so am I listening to the voice of Satan? Let's begin here. He is referred to as the great accuser of the brethren. So am I listening to the voice of the enemy as he accuses me? Think about, like, I would say that those chief, the scribes and the Pharisees in that account of the woman caught in adultery, their conduct is diabolical. They are acting like Satan. I mean, it is straight up Zechariah 3, right? Where Joshua, the high priest, is standing before the Lord and Satan's there. What's Satan doing? He's accusing Joshua. He is pointing out his dirtiness and his unworthiness. Well, the angel of the Lord, i.e. the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, is standing there and basically says, Joshua, it's okay, because I'm going to take your dirty clothes from you and I'm going to give you my robes to wear.
Come on, man.
Right? So, and that's, we'll get to the voice of the Savior in a minute. But are we listening to the accusations of Satan that continue to tell us and continue to bring to mind all of the ways that we're unworthy of God, all of the ways that we have failed God, all of the ways that we have sinned yet again? You've done it again. Like, yeah, God, maybe he's been merciful to you in the past, but not now. You have done this too many times. Your repentance isn't genuine. Yeah, there's mercy with God, but not for you. Right? These are the accusations that Satan continues to hurl at us. Or he's also called, Jesus says, John 8, he was a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of lies. Are we listening to his lies about God, even? How he says to, like, what did he do in the garden? You can't really trust him. Mm-hmm. He's not good to you. Like, he's holding out on you. Like, he's not who you think he is. He's not who he's told you he is. Mm-hmm. So Satan does that over and over again. Or the lies that he tells me about how God feels about me. He's frustrated with you. His patience, he doesn't have any more for you. He is so indignant toward you and so angry, he's just going to pour his wrath out on you. This is what Satan tells us. It lies about God. Or he says, hey, you got God's favor. You're good with God right now. But if you want to remain good with him, if you want to remain in his good graces, you better get to work. You better do your part. Because if you don't keep doing this, or if you stumble back into that, don't you think for one second, don't you presume on God's kindness? You know, don't you think that he's going to continue to show you his favor if you don't get it together? These are the lies of Satan. Or lastly, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, John, to talk about Satan a little bit. Are his temptations. God tempts no one, but Satan does. He's tempted Jesus. He tempted Adam and Eve. Do we think he doesn't tempt us? He does. All right, well, what about his temptations perpetually for us to leave God and go our own way? All the ways that he tempts us to just kind of do what we want, do what feels good. We're going to get to the flesh in just a minute. Yeah. But yeah, he works this way. Mm-hmm. And Satan is the great adversary, the great enemy. He is real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a servant of God, yet he is powerful. He's the God of this world. And are we listening to his voice or not?
Yeah.
Is he in your head, you know, in terms of the voice, the narratives, the words you're listening to? Mm-hmm.
Justin, if I were to say to you, you know, I think we need to exterminate anybody that doesn't hold up to a genetic perfect, you know, human being. And then I define for you whatever that is, you know, whatever race I'm going to choose. And that is how we should act. Mm-hmm. Immediately, you're going to go, you're going to ask me a question. Where did you get that?
Yeah.
What in the world, man?
Yeah.
Because that's you can tell that that something is influencing, because that's not true. Right. That's not reality. So something influenced me. And when you talk sometimes, Justin, we have so etherized Satan and we have so mm-hmm. created him to be mm-hmm. a cartoon character in the Christian mm-hmm. faith that when his lies come into our existence, we don't recognize them because they're not foreign to us. When Jesus says that he is the father of all lies, okay, that means when you are hearing these accusations in your heart that you were just defining, because you're like, yeah, John, but you guys got to be careful because Satan isn't really putting those thoughts in our minds. Listen, if they are in resonance in your mind, he absolutely put them there because he gave the mechanism to get them there and they live there and they're from him. Therefore, he put them in there.
Yeah, I don't, this is another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would anyway. Do I think that Christians can be, you know, possessed by Satan? Of course not, because we belong to Christ. Right. But do I think that, I don't know how else to understand accusations and fiery darts in the language of the scriptures, the temptation, and the things that Satan actually does that clearly have an effect on us. I don't know how to understand that apart from those things being real.
Yeah.
Now, can I explain the mechanism of all of it? No. But the scripture seems to me unapologetically clear that Satan does these things and that we are vulnerable.
Yeah.
In one sense, right?
Yep.
Therefore, we put on the armor of God, i.e. Christ for us. Continue.
I think Satan uses means.
Sure. So, he's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient, but he's powerful.
No, exactly. So, you know, is Satan attacking me and you at the same time? No and yes. No, in that he's only in one place, unless you and I are standing next to each other. Mm-hmm. And yes, by sense of means. Like, he's been using false teachers for thousands of years.
Sure.
And literally, we're gonna talk about his fallen ways angels.
Of the world and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul says his fallen angels appear as angels of light.
Sure.
But my point of it being is that sometimes, Justin, lies linger longer. Ooh, look at that. Lies linger longer because we don't identify where they're from.
Baptist preacher right there with all that alliteration.
Hey, remind me of an alliteration at the end I used on Sunday. It's very Baptist. Cool. But it's because if we can be appalled by its source, right? For instance, the reason I was using that, that's an Adolf Hitler idea. Like, you exterminated millions of people. So if you hear me, you should immediately say, John, don't talk like that. Don't give me that information. The source of that is evil. We should be able to identify when we start questioning the goodness of God and his love and affection towards us. We should go, whoa, the source of that is evil. That is not appropriate thought. Like, that is not how God wants me to think about him or my relationship with him. But the problem is because we don't know where the source is from and we don't identify it, at times it lingers and it stays and it actually influences our hearts. And honestly, Justin, really the only way of knowing a lie is to know the truth, right? This is why Jesus says,
if you know the truth, you recognize the counterfeit.
Yeah. That's right. It'll set you free. Yeah. But I think this is so healthy to sit back and, because Justin, you and I, we sometimes even when I have my thoughts that wander and I can have thoughts of lust or envy or fear and anxiety, it or is healthy and good to go, that is not of God.
Oh yeah.
That is not of God. That is not what my father taught me.
This is not exactly.
This is what Paul means when he says, this is not how you learned the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's what he means. He's like, that doesn't come from God. That's the opposer. That's the accuser. That's the anti-God. That's the antichrist. Right. So it's healthy at times to identify these lies and realize that's what they are. Because the Bible is very clear in our identity, which is so great about your book. I'm excited about it. And this is not a podcast about your book, which we will do. But no, I think having a very healthy understanding of Satan's constant influence in that, he personally isn't at, in our presence, and we're not throwing inkwells at him like maybe Luther was. I mean, I'm totally cool with Satan coming after Luther because the guy had a lot of influence. But me, he doesn't, you know, know who I am. But he throws his minions at me and his ideologies at me for sure.
There's the principalities and powers of darkness. I mean, it's a whole kingdom of darkness. It's so there's a lot in terms of spiritual warfare that, yeah, we tend to fall out. This is another podcast for another day. We tend to fall off one side of the horse or the other when it comes to Satan and spiritual warfare. We either give it, it's all we think about, or we just act as though it's not real, and neither is healthy, right? So,
right. And so I just want to go on saying that I think we as Christians need to talk more about the opposing views of the gospel in our hearts and minds is demonic. And we need to remember that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Hey guys, real quick, some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community. And we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there. Past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there. And you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.
All right, let's continue on though. Like you talked about, you know, Satan is, I mean, we referred last week to, you know, Satan's tyranny and all of those kinds of things. Well, you know, Satan is referred to by Paul as the god of this world. And so we're going to get into, you talked about, you know, Satan using means and even his temptations. You know, those are basically things that he throws in our path that our corrupt flesh is attracted to. So let's talk about the flesh some in the ways that the voice of the flesh speaks to us. And so we are sinners and saints, right? We're saints and sinners at the same time. As we've been united to the Lord Jesus, we've been given a new nature and a new heart that loves God, that trusts Christ. It's been united to Jesus. And at the same time, we drag the corpse of the old man around with us. We know that. And the old man floats, as Luther said. And so given that that's true, there are all kinds of things that wage war. You know, our flesh wages war against our spirit, against our inner man. And so are we listening to the voice of our flesh? So this could be any number of things. This could be the cravings and the passions and the desires that we have. You know, where it's like, oh my gosh, like this thought has popped into my mind. I'm not even sure where this came from. And now I can't get rid of it. Or this desire that I have that I know, like you just said, I know it's wrong. I know that this is not good. I know that this is not of God. I know that this is not what my Father would have for me. I know that Jesus died for this. And on the one hand, if he's here, it's like, you know, this is really bad and you shouldn't go here. And I love you and I'm for you, you know? So I know all this, but yet I can't shake it. Are we listening to those things? And are we trying to then construct a narrative and a view of things to justify or condone what I want to do?
Yeah.
Am I listening to my flesh in that way? But also there are other ways that the flesh speaks. So there are the doubts and the fears that we have. Where do those come from? Well, they don't come from the inner man. They come from the frailty of the flesh, that I doubt God or that I'm afraid. Like it is an old man legal forensic reality that views God as judge that causes me to be to dread him. Right? So am I listening to my flesh in that way? There are also many people out there that listen to this podcast. You may really battle thoughts of like self-loathing. You might hate yourself.
Yeah.
Now it's good to despair of our own righteousness and to acknowledge the corruption that lies within and that I am in complete need of Christ. But then if you fall off the other side of the horse to where it's just like, I'm just all bad all the time. I'm worthless. I'm terrible. Like, I don't know why anyone would love me, including God. That's not of the Lord.
No.
That's not from your inner man. That's from the flesh. Right? It's destructive. Am I listening to the flesh in this way? Or we were made and the covenant of works is real. We've talked about this in the past where do this and live, obey and you'll have eternal life, right? Are you listening to your flesh in all the ways that we clearly and innately think that we need to earn God's love?
Yeah.
Like I need to do it. I need to achieve it. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Make something of yourself. Are you listening to your flesh in that regard? Because that is not how it works in God's economy. He gives us life. He gives us salvation. We receive it as a gift from his hand. We don't earn it. But am I listening to that voice from within that's like, man, I got to do my part. I got to contribute. Just some of the ways that the flesh speaks. Are we listening to that?
Yeah. Man, Justin, this is like a constant, right? And I think the only way to, you know, we said this offhanded, but I'm going to go here now. I think the only way to go, the only way to get through this kind of things is you have to have a light that leads you through. Because sure. You're talking about the darkness of Satan and the darkness of your flesh. They're both murky and ugly. So we have to have something that pulls us like towards the light. And that becomes Christ, right? So this is going back to even, I mean, there's so many passages. But I'm just thinking of 2 Peter, where he talks about the promises, the fulfillment of the prophecies of Christ become the light in a dark place. And I got so many things I want to say, and we're like running out of time here soon. But Justin, when we're looking at our life and examining our thought processes, at times when you're in that moment, it's so hard and it's so real, you don't know how to pull yourself out of it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
This is why God knew in our weakness. First of all, he knew the attacks of the kingdom of darkness and their powers and the power of our flesh, so much so that when he wrote about the solutions, he didn't write them to individuals for individual use. He wrote them to the church for corporate use, yeah. Because there's going to be times I need you to remind me of the gospel. I need you to tell me to stop believing a lie. Yeah. I need you to, you know, lead me in my weakness towards the one who can provide for me strength and help, because my thoughts are so, like, I'm so consumed by them. And Justin, I know for a fact, because we've done this for so many years, we've had so many comments and emails that have come into us where people are crippled by this stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Crippled. I mean, like, can't get out of bed at times because of this. And we want to sit here and not condemn you, get angry at you, call you anything other than a dear, precious brother and sister and say, you're not crazy. Okay. You're not the first one who's had to examine the source of your thought. And we're here to encourage you and say, hey, listen, you need to abandon that stuff because it is toxic, and you need to go to the sure foundation of the gospel, which reminds you of your weakness and sinners as a sinner, and that all of your righteousness and all of your hope is put on to you by Christ, by faith alone. That is the truth. That is the proper source. That is freedom. And man, it's so hard. And Justin, there are going to be at times, and I know you agree with this, we don't know if it's our flesh or Satan or a combination of both. And it's hard to know. And I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think you need to identify it, guys. Don't try to figure out, like,
you don't need to
Satan or my flesh. Who cares? Yeah. Who cares where it's from? It's wrong. Like, how did I get sick? I don't care how I got sick. If it was the plane or the grocery store, I just want to get better. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's Satan. It's the flesh. I mean, just a brief tip of the cap to the world here. I mean,
well, I have some thoughts on that too.
So like the course of the world, to use Ephesians 2 language, the world hates God. And so the world hates Christians. I mean, this language is shot through the scriptures. Jesus is plain about it. The apostles are too. And, the world under the domain of the reign of Satan is in rebellion against God, and we suppress the truth and unrighteousness naturally. All of that is the case. And so to follow the course of the world, again, Ephesians 2 language, is just to be carried along by the way that the world thinks and the way that the world acts and the things that the world values and the things that the world sees as normal. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of ways this can happen for us, where, you know, we live in a culture, we live in a society, we grow up and we experience things, and we do view certain ideals or certain kinds of circumstances or a certain standard of living or a certain lifestyle or whatever it is. We view these things as quote unquote normal. Mm-hmm. And so they don't resonate. They don't register with us as like, yeah, this might not be good. And maybe the way of the world here is off. We don't always see it that way. And so there's a lot of ways that the world speaks to us through the media we consume, you know, relationships that we have, just all kinds of things. And the Lord does not mean for us to be taken out of the world. He's very clear about that, but that, you know, we would be protected from the evil one. But he's also clear that we ought not follow the course of the world either.
Yeah.
So what are the ways that we listen to the world in a way that is clearly contrary to what the Lord would have for us? It's a good thing to reflect on.
Yeah. Yeah. Your point on,
Ephesians, man, you just have to read this, because I can remember thinking about this a couple of years ago and it was like, man, I don't think we really pay attention to this. So just listen to how Paul says this. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. In once you once walked, okay, so walking means that like you're governing your life.
You went about and you lived, you know, this way.
Following the course of the world. So
right.
That's what you're talking about. Like
correct.
The world actually is telling you how to live.
Well, and there's a current that's flowing and you're kind of swept up in it. Yeah.
Following. Now here's what's important, because some people are like, well, I don't understand why that's a problem. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is Satan. Now at work in the sons of disobedience. Yeah. This is Satan. Yeah. He's the prince, right? Yep. So this is important because when we're thinking about how the world lives and how they make their decisions, they're not being influenced by the same source we are. Mm-hmm. Now, we might do the same things. Like you might go to the store and buy groceries at the same place that the world does, right?
Sure.
And we might do a lot of the same thing that the world does. But at the end of the day, what drives our hearts and our affections and our decision-making processes comes from a different source. Now, buying groceries is a very different, Justin, than thinking about how we conduct ourselves in our attitude and actions and how we think about things like life and sexuality. All of this we have to understand is that when we're engaging the world, if we are allowing the world to influence us when it comes to areas of morality and godliness, if we're allowing the world to do that, which is easily done, we have to understand the source of it. Mm-hmm. Now, Justin, when it comes to my health or it comes to a mechanic or our plumbing, this is not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking
really
about that.
So really quickly, you and I have a robust appreciation for the light of nature and natural law.
Yeah.
So that is not at all in view here.
No.
What we're talking about is something different than this. There's a lot of wisdom in the world that God has made. There are ways we can study it and glean good things from it. That is not up for debate. What we're talking about now, though, is the corrupted fallenness of the world and how we tend to follow after its course and its current, and the one who ultimately is the god of this world to is Satan.
Yes, and I think it's healthy to identify, Justin, at times, and we could do a whole episode on this. So I'm going to do 30 seconds instead. I am really perturbed and disturbed by the amount of influence the world has on Christians as it comes to things that God does talk about.
Sure.
Right? Marriage and family, the way we conduct ourselves, the way that we think, all of this, it is healthy at times to go back and say, what is influencing my thought processes here? You know, before we were talking about our relationship with the God and how does God think of us? But now I think it's also healthy to think about my relationship to the world as a representative of God. What's influencing me? Where am I getting this information? And I think at times, man, it's overwhelming to think how worldly and following the course of this world Christians can be. And it's not beneficial. There's like no one is benefited by following the course of the world ever. No. Why? Because the source of it is the creator of darkness and death.
Right. And to be clear, super briefly, because I want to pivot to the voice of Jesus to close this thing out. We're not talking about issues of liberty and conscience here. We're not talking about Christian freedom. We're talking about things that are clearly spoken to. You've already said it this way. Things that God in his word has clearly spoken to, like in ways that are not debatable.
No.
That's the sad part. It's not, you know, for you in a matter of wisdom or liberty or conscience to do things that are quote unquote normal in society, that's one conversation. That's fine. But for you to say, well, I'm going to do this, even though God's word says otherwise, is an entirely different matter.
Yeah.
And obviously wisdom is required to know the distinction between matters of law and matters of liberty, but that is another podcast for another day.
And I'm going to tie it together real quick before I throw it back over to you, in that Satan wants to influence us and get us off on things that don't matter, whether it's our assurance, whether it is our mission, or whether it's us becoming ineffective and trapped in sin. He just wants us off. And that's really what the point of the podcast is it's healthy to say, what is influencing me? What is the source of my
hope and foundation of thinking sure. in life.
Yeah, that's right. So the voice that we want to listen to, and I'm saying that way on purpose, because regardless of our struggle and regardless of the ways that we all listen to the voice of the evil one or the voice of our flesh or the voice of our world, we as believers want to listen to the voice of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so let's help each other do that. Let's condition ourselves to listen to him rather than listening to these other things. And then as you recognize very clearly the voice of your Savior, all of the other voices that are false, that are actually out to harm you, mm-hmm. those become very, very clear because they're very different than his voice. So if Satan, we've talked about all the things, I don't need to reframe everything that we've already said, but the voice of Jesus says a number of things to us. One thing he says is that I don't condemn you. Mm. Like you're not condemned. You're forgiven of your sins. Your guilt, you're absolved of it. It's all been taken. I took it on myself. I died for it. You don't bear it anymore. Let me have it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been handled. That's what he says to us. Mm-hmm. So even if, you know, we envision Jesus kind of walking in the room when we're committing a heinous sin, I mean, he would say, yeah, this is bad. You shouldn't do this. But I've dealt with this and you're not condemned. Another thing he says to us is that you have my favor. Mm-hmm. You have it now. You'll always have it. He tells us, I love you. And I, not just I love you, I know you. And I know you better than you know yourself. And even knowing you that way, I love you. Mm-hmm. And more than that, I want to be with you forever. And one of the most touching, gripping things in all of the scriptures to me is it's depicted in John 17, most pointedly, is that Jesus, that God the Son has the perfect communion with the Father and the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But he prays to the Father that he desires that his people would be with him where he is to see his glory that he's had from before the foundation of the world. And it's like, you know, Father, I have your company, I have your fellowship, but I must have theirs too. Mm-hmm. You know, this is that covenant of redemption in eternity past. This was always the plan. So it's appropriate that he would feel this way. But the Father has fixed the heart of the Son upon us, and the Son has fixed his own heart upon us, and he loves us this way. So, and he continues to tell us that he does. Mm-hmm. And that I love you. I want to be with you. You will be with me forever. You're going to see my glory. I must have your company. It can be no other way. And he tells us too, like, if you're thirsty, come to me, right? If you're weak, if you're heavy laden, come to me, drink of me, feed on me. I'll give you rest. If you come to me, I'm never going to cast you out. Yeah. Never, ever will I ever cast you out. So that means you belong to me forever and you are completely safe. No one can take you from me. This is the voice of Christ. And then lastly, and I'll flip it over to you, John.
Yeah.
And now, in light of all of that, go and sin no more. In light of all of that, go and serve. In light of all of that, go and love your brothers and sisters and go and love your neighbor. In light of all of that, go and do the good thing, to which we're all like, amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that ain't legalism. That's not works righteousness. That's not earning it. Mm-mm. But this is how Jesus speaks. And, you know, John 7, no one ever spoke like him. Listen to him. Trust him.
Amen. Yeah, I was trying to look up some passages while you're talking and listening mm-hmm. at the same time. And it's hard. It's so good. I think when you're thinking about the voice of God, one of the and this is really just goes back to last week's episode. One of the things, Justin, I think it's healthy is that we don't listen to our God and the voice of our Savior when it comes down to our experience. Mm-hmm. So, for instance,
that's the whole issue, John.
Yeah,
it's our lived experience. Like we believe and we trust one thing.
Yeah.
But then my experience is different. This is another podcast for another day, maybe.
Right. But to tie last week and this week together, when Hebrews says, in time of need, you should come without, and I love this, with boldness. So without fear, without wonder, like, can I? Fear meaning like, something bad is waiting for me.
He says, oh, no, no. He goes, you have a sympathetic high priest who understands your weakness. And he expects you, because you're going to need this, to come and ask for mercy and grace. See, that's the voice of the Father.
That's right.
That's the thought process we should have. So it's okay to think and say to yourself, I guess God expects me to struggle. Yes, because Paul says we walk by faith.
Yeah.
We have to walk trusting in a power and a source outside of ourselves, because we're weak and we're frail and we fumble. We constantly fall. So the voice of God should be, he knows my weakness, therefore I trust in his sufficiency. He knows I'm a sinner, therefore I trust in his forgiveness. He knows I am without power, therefore I trust in his Spirit. Mm-hmm. And those are the voices that we have to be listening to. And at the end of the day, those all have a backing called the Word of God. Amen. And this is why we gather to hear the Word of God preached to us, to encourage each other, to sing to one another.
Yeah. Real quick, and then you can shut us down.
Yeah.
I'll do a series of questions with my kids sometimes, because I'm getting to the whole thing, like the backing is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I'll ask my kids, why do you need Jesus? Mm-hmm. And they'll answer, for the forgiveness of my sins, for righteousness, and for eternal life. But what did Jesus do for you? He died on the cross for my sins. He kept the law for me, and he rose from the dead for my justification. Can you keep the law? No. Mm-hmm. I've broken all of God's commands. I've never kept any of them, and I'm still inclined toward all evil. Well, then how are you righteous before God? Only by faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But how are you righteous by faith? Because Christ's righteousness is counted to me. Does Jesus love you? Yes. How do you know? For the Bible tells me so. Right? That's it. It's like he loves us, man. And he's our forgiveness and our righteousness and our eternal life and all of those things. How do we know it? Because God has testified to it. This is not man's opinion. This is not the testimony of any human being. This is the testimony of God himself. And we trust him.
Hmm. So I said I was going to do a little Baptist thing to close us down. On Sunday, I was teaching
Baptists. Baptists.
Hey, listen, I was born in a Baptist home from a Baptist pastor, and I am proud of my Baptist roots.
And not just any kind of Baptist now, independent, Baptist. Fundamental Baptist now. Come on, baby.
Hey, man, shout out to all my lovely FB friends.
Come on.
So I thought about times, a lot of times I think about the sermons that my dad had preached, and he liked to alliterate things and use letters. So at the end of my sermon, I was chuckling because I had this thought about the faithfulness of God. And so I called it the F's of our faith. And so I wrote this paragraph, or this sentence. So here it is. This is kind of the conclusion of my sermon and really a way to think about our faith. Failures are forgiven by the faithfulness of the Father to fulfill all that was foretold.
Come on now, one more time. Let's close in prayer. You know?
That's right. Failures are forgiven by, not our faithfulness, by the faithfulness of the Father. Mm-hmm. And how do we know that we're not just forgiven, but fully righteous? To fulfill all that was foretold. And that's how we know. So there you go. We love you guys. We're so thankful for you. It is a joy and an honor to speak to you on a week-to-week basis. We're so thankful that you choose to listen and share this. May God encourage you by means of the gospel. Use that encouragement to encourage someone else, either by word or by prayer. We'll talk to you soon. Hey everyone, before you go, Justin and I first wanted to say thank you. And if this has been encouraging to you in any way, please feel free to share it. But we also need your support. And it's when you give that it really helps us financially reach more people. So the next time you consider giving to a ministry, we hope that you would pray about Theocast and partner with us as we share the gospel around the world.